for the latest happenings on the diamond.
With the team here the last couple days, Eric Haas had a big weekend, and pitchers love throwing to him. I mean, he's a great, great teammate.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
Some of these deals, and of course the way that the wild card picture is right now, if the narrative is that there might be teams that are both buying and selling.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Rubber match today at AmFam Field as the Brewers take on the Atlanta Braves. Won the first, lost the second. They play today at 1:10 this afternoon. That's where Sophia Minert will be. Sophia, let's get to the Brewers at the trade deadline. They didn't make one, famously. Mm-hmm. That thing was going around on social media. They were one of three teams that did not make a deal on Tuesday. Well, yeah, but they made several deals before Tuesday, adding three pitchers to the roster. Should these moves be seen as something that put them closer to a deep playoff run?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when we talked to GM Matt Arnold, it's look, they addressed like their most glaring need. You know, I feel like every week we've come on here and we've talked about the pitching staff and the injuries and transactions and moves. And so I think this was their most glaring need. And Matt did share with us that, you know, they were in on a lot of different conversations, as all GMs are. And, you know, of course, they also looked at adding a bat. I think that question may have come up for fans with Christian Yelich's absence for now. And honestly, he said, I felt really good about the position player group that we have and felt like their needs were more pressing on the pitching side. So, yeah, you go back, it was Aaron Civale the first week of July. They've already gotten a couple of good starts from him. They added Nick Mears from Colorado over the weekend. He had a great debut Monday night, clean inning, two strikeouts, high velocity. His stuff looked really good. So I think that's an arm that they're counting on in the bullpen. And then Frankie Montas, that they acquired from Cincinnati, who comes with a lot of experience. And they feel like they can put a better defense behind him and in a better ballpark than what a Great American Ballpark is. And that they can get improvement from him. So I think they feel good, and they feel like they got what they needed and checked the boxes that they needed to kind of bolster their pitching staff.
Sophia, do we have a timeline on Yelich? Everything I read seems like he will need surgery at the end of the season, but are they just going to try and manage it now with medication and treatment?
Yeah, look, he really wants to come back and play, and obviously he was off to a phenomenal start this season and coming off of the All-Star game. You know, no decisions have been made yet about the short or the long term. He's still in the treatment phase of things. He's not doing any baseball stuff yet, but he definitely wants to try to get back and play as much of the season as he can. It's just a matter of, you know, how his back and his body cooperate and allow him to do that. So, yeah, as of right now, there's no clear timeline for him.
Sophia, has the league ever handed out a gold glove 107 games into the season? Because they can just give it to Bryce Turang right now, right? It's a formality. Like, just let's have a ceremony today before the game.
Let's just make our own trophy.
Yeah, we could do that
before the game.
Yeah,
we could do an arts and crafts. You know, so actually, this is funny. At spring training, Pat Murphy assigned the relievers a project, and Hobie Milner took the lead on this. I don't know if you guys remember this, but their task was to make a glove out of materials that they just found at the ballpark. So of course, you know, Dr. Milner, as we call him, Hobie kind of took the lead on this project and recruited some of the guys to help him with this. And he actually ended up making a pretty legit glove out of like an old medicine ball, and then kind of stitched it together, had some of the guys paint it. I mean, we could maybe recruit Hobie to make another gold glove for Bryce and present it to him.
Yeah, I'm all on board for that. But I mean, his defense has been spectacular. So I mean, the game he had where he makes a diving catch front handed, makes a diving catch back handed to save an inning. Like, it's, I mean, he's a big reason, not just offensively but defensively, where this team is where they're at.
Yeah, I think you're talking about against Miami, and it's back to back plays where he's essentially saving four runs. Like, you can't, and I think this is where baseball is maybe a little bit behind of, like, it seems like you can measure everything else in the game. And I just think the defensive metrics are probably still a little bit behind. That being said, he is still leading the National League in defensive runs saved. I think it's at 15 now. And I, you know, we had talked about this around the All-Star game. He was absolutely deserving of being an All-Star there too, just for the offense and for the defense. But there is no doubt. I mean, just watching him every day, I don't think you can find a better defensive second baseman in the league. The way, I mean, it's just his range, his hands, his quickness, the release, the quick exchanges. I mean, how many double plays that he and Willy Adames have turned. I mean, he's just exceptional, and he works really, really hard at it. He's very consistent with the early work. He's always refining things. He's talked about how much Willy Adames has helped them of just being kind of the quarterback of that infield. And Willie's constantly talking to Bryce and to Joey Ortiz on the other side of third base. So Willie deserves a lot of credit for what he's done with them too. But any pitcher on any night will tell you that Bryce Terang has done something great for them that night.
Sophia Minert joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as she does each and every week during the baseball season. Freddie Peralta expected to take the bump today for the Brewers. Sophia, what's going on with him? It feels like he has not had the season that we expected him to have. He's had some early inning struggles, particularly in the first. What is going on with Freddie?
Yeah, you know, this is part of a season. First of all, I would say that considering everything else that has happened with the pitching staff, the fact that Freddie has taken the ball every turn, only he and Colin Ray can make that claim on this stuff right now, has been extremely valuable. And that means a lot, right? When a lot has put on him of now being the ace of this staff, the leader of this staff, obviously he's going up against great matchups on the other side as well. So I would say, first of all, that has been the most valuable thing that he has provided. And then this is just part of, like, kind of how Freddie's seasons go. He's had to kind of battle this for his career. Sometimes it's the first inning. Sometimes it's a long inning. Sometimes it's getting two strikes and not being able to put a hitter away. I talked to Carlos Villanueva about this, former Brewer, and he's very, very close with Freddie and works with him really extensively in the offseason, along with Chris Hook and the rest of the pitching group. But it's like they almost have to, like, set an alert every, like, 2 to 3 weeks to just remind Freddie kind of how nasty he is, how good his fastball is, how everything has to come off of that. And sometimes, you know, because he's turned into himself into such a complete pitcher, I think sometimes he'll deviate from that and he'll go to off-speed stuff more. And they're like, no, stick to, right? Like, the hitters have told you now for 6-plus seasons that your fastball is one of the best in the game. Stick to that, right? Like, keep that as your foundation for everything. And sometimes players need to hear that, right? Like, sometimes players need to be reminded of kind of who they are and what got them here and what they're great at. So, I could say that, like, Freddie, I think, has actually had a good season, in my opinion. I know he's coming off of a bad start the last time out. But just what he has brought to this staff in a time of, you know, a lot of turnover. It's been pretty tumultuous with the staff. Freddie has been very steady. And again, this is coming up on start 23. He made 30 last year. So I think that's extremely valuable.
Sophia, you ever see frustration in the Brewer players around the trade deadline, knowing that big market teams that are playing well can go out and get higher quality players because of the way baseball is structured? From a revenue standpoint, you ever see guys like show frustration of like, this isn't really fair?
Of course they talk about it, right? Like, you know, MLB Network is on all day in the clubhouse. And so, you know, we talk about some of the moves that the other teams are making. And I think, you know, this year specifically, it was a very active trade deadline. But you saw really high prices, you know, specifically for pitching, prospects, you know, 3 or 4 prospects going for a pitcher, maybe 2. So, you know, we saw a lot of activity, but I think these guys have a really good understanding of the business. So it's kind of like you're kind of just focused on staying in your own lane and what's happening with our team and, you know, there's obviously a game to be played that night. So they're obviously aware of it. We talk about it. It's fun to talk about some of the moves that other teams are making, especially within the division. You know, the Cardinals were active. The Pirates were active. The Cubs made some interesting moves kind of for their short term and for their future. So you're looking at kind of like how that changes the landscape for the rest of the way. But I think they have a really good understanding of just what, you know, what the expectations are. And I think they also understand, like, hey, we've given ourselves a really good position here in the second half of the division lead that they have, and hopefully a chance to secure that division. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, it's fun to talk about this time of year.
Did I see this right, Sophia? That Pat Murphy's joke and kind of just comments about Vlad Guerrero Jr. actually led to a call from the Toronto Blue Jays?
They that's what they said. And that was around when
Christian got hurt.
Yeah, in Chicago when Christian got hurt. And, you know, obviously the deadline was coming up. And at that point, we knew that Christian was going on the IL. And again, didn't know for how long and still don't know for how long. So one of the reporters was asking if that changed the Brewers' approach at the deadline. And, you know, Murph, as you know, likes to joke around a lot. And so it was an offhand comment, right? Of like, well, what do you want us to do, right? It's really hard to replace a player like Christian Yelich. Like, those players aren't readily available. And obviously there's a steep cost to that. So, you know, I think poor Vladdy Jr. was just the name that Murph threw out. And I guess that got back to the Blue Jays. And again, these GMs, they have constant conversations around a lot of players. The Blue Jays said they were not planning on trading Vladdy Jr. or never got close to trading him. But it is kind of funny how sometimes these conversations start.
Sophia, we appreciate you. Get out to the ballpark and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
She's Sophia Minert. You can watch her, of course, on Bally Sports Wisconsin as she continues to cover the Crew in the final few months of this season and hopefully in a long playoff run. I want to tell you guys about my friends over at Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate, the Arts Hotel. Make it your next dinner destination. It is nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It is an artful dining experience that captivates with its culinary creativity. Every bite there, guys, is a work of culinary artistry. You can learn more and make reservations at aria@stkate.com. That's aria@stkate.com.